Good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for the opportunity to come to speak to you today about one of my passions, the library. As I said earlier, I am Marlene Iwamoto, and I'm the community librarian for the Los Altos Library and Woodland Branch. I really see myself as a caretaker of your library, of the community's library, and today I wanted to talk about a little bit about the background. So I'm going to share some history with you, as well as our services that we offer today, and also some of the challenges that we have moving forward. So let's get started. Over 100 years ago, in 1914, the Santa Clara County Library District was established. And the Los Altos Library was the first library to join this new district. C.E. Minor, who was a Los Altos land agent, made the county a proposal it couldn't turn down for $5 a month and 50 books. He opened up his land office and ran the library from his office at First and Main Street. Over the next 50 years, the library was in various locations throughout Los Altos, including Copeland Hall, as well as Shoup Park. And eventually, other member cities joined the district, and those cities are listed here. Each library building is owned by the corresponding city. So the district has a lease with each of those cities. Everything that you have in the building, the staff, our services, our materials, our online presence is provided by the district. For Los Altos and Woodland, our current operating budget is hovering around $5 million for this coming fiscal year. Taking us to the 1930s, you start to begin to see collections begin to grow and being developed in response to community needs. Nonfiction is the newest trend at the time. And then you start to see self-improvement books in demand. And you probably might recognize a couple of these titles. And interestingly enough, the most popular book was Life Begins at 40 by Pitkin. In the 1940s, the library is broadening its mission, and we're looking at community service and how we can help improve the services in the community. And so the county library participated in a nationwide book drive for soldiers, sailors, and Marines. Among the most desired items were detective and Western stories, as well as how-to. At the same time, you see library programs being developed to help stimulate young minds. And here we have the Los Altos Library at its current location here. And it was built in 1964, and that actually makes it our oldest building in our district. But thanks to a remodel and expansion in 1993, our library looks remarkably well, so the building was expanded around the original building. If you see in this photo, it came out into the parking lot to the front of the building and expanded out into the side. In 1976, the Woodland Branch was built to help serve the residents of South Los Altos, and it was remodeled in 2010. Some of you might recognize this. During the 80s and through the 2000s, so the Los Altos Library was the first to install the Apple II computer. And it was coin-operated and cost $3 per hour to use. Patrons were encouraged to use the computer and experiment with it, which had a retail value of $8,500. A decade later, we went online. We had the World Wide Web at the time, and we were able to offer the library internet to patrons. And jumping another decade ahead, innovative technological advances gave us the opportunity to provide library patrons with access to our databases and some of our resources online 24/7. So that brings us today, up to today. So today the library really is a community hub from what I've observed since I've been here for the past 18 months. And it was something that was readily apparent the first day I got here is how well loved and how well used this library is in the community. Our library is open 7 days a week, and that's 71 open hours per week, making, in my mind, the library one of the most accessible public buildings and services in the city. Combined, Los Altos and Woodland had over 590,000 visits from last fiscal year, and so that's from July 2017 to June 2018. And we are increasing the visits, if you look from month to month, every month. And so this averages to about 1,400 visits per day. As of last month, we had over 30,000 library card holders who actually are residents of Los Altos and Los Altos Hills. So if you kind of do the numbers, 69% of our residents have library cards, and that is just phenomenal. That's amazing. And the community checked out over 1.3 million materials this past year. And contrary to national trends where circulation is actually decreasing across the United States, our circulation is actually increased by last fiscal year by 5.8%. And we're continuing to see that increase as well. And we have programs for children's, teens, and adults. We had 895 programs last fiscal year, and the total attendance was almost 35,000 people. I want to go real quickly through some of our resources. We have books, movies, programs, online resources, and I really feel like the library has something for everyone. Due to my limited time, I'm going to go real quickly through this, but if you would like me to come back and share more in depth about our services, I would be happy to do that. From the very beginning, as you all know, we've been about books and learning. We have books, ebooks, and multiple genres, as well as in multiple languages. If you love to listen, we have music CDs, downloadable music, audiobooks, e-audiobooks, and even performances here in this community room. Perhaps your favorite pastime is watching movies. We have streaming videos through Canopy. If you love British television, Acorn TV is for you. And if you love ballet, opera, concerts, please check out Medici TV. And we also have some investment resources that I'm pretty sure all of you know about, Morningstar and Value Line, as well as some of the popular newsletters. We have lynda.com that provides over 5,000 courses with new editions weekly. And the courses are recognized, taught by recognized industry experts who are also working professionals. If you want to learn a second language, third or even fourth language, or maybe you want to learn some basic phrases on your next travel, we have Rosetta Stone. And if you prefer learning in person, we have numerous programs and lectures for you. Learning and participation really enriches the experience. We have individuals and families coming to learn at the library. We provide additional resources for the Los Altos School and High School District. We offer coding classes for kids, such as Scratch and JavaScript. We've also offered Adobe Photoshop and Illustrator classes for adults and teens. Today, teens leave really incredibly busy lives. Teens come to the library to study, to collaborate, and participate. And the library is a wonderful place for them to get help with homework, resources. There's reference librarians here. There's a space to study. And teens also participate and de-stress. So this photo here is from a gaming tournament that we had. And the teens were so excited about this tournament that they even brought in their own monitors, and someone actually brought in a tube television, if you can imagine that, because supposedly one of the games is best on a tube television. And so they had a really great time. Every Thursday, we have an ESL conversation club. And just before summer, we actually had an 8-week conversation class that ended. A lot of times in the library, we don't know if a program is going to be very popular or not, and sometimes we just want to try it. And so we thought, let's try the ESL class, and we had a wonderful turnout, much so that we want to offer it again in the spring. It's something that we would really like to offer year-round, but due to the availability of this room, that kind of makes it impossible since it's competing with some other programs as well, but we're glad that we're going to be able to offer it in the spring. We have Baby Lapsed and Baby Sign Language to help parents improve communication with their little ones. Parents and caregivers have the opportunity to not only connect with their babies, but also socialize with other parents. We offer 3 interactive story times for toddlers and preschoolers. We also have a bilingual story time, which is Mandarin English. Story times really help engage the little ones. Our story times are designed specifically to help build early literacy skills. Helping children develop these skills help them to become successful readers. Our orchard room, which is the room that you're in, has a capacity of 100. And on average, we have about 5 programs a month where we actually go over capacity or where we need to turn people away. As a community librarian, safety is a priority for me, for the public, for the staff. And when I first joined Los Altos about a year ago, I had found out, some of these programs are going over capacity, and my mind is thinking, no, that can't happen. So I did have a conversation with our supervising librarian. I said, you really need to make sure that we stay at capacity for the safety. And so she talked to her staff, the librarians. And so for a while, they were really good about making sure that we didn't go over capacity. But, I think over time, they start to let 1 or 2 people slip in, and then before you know it, it's 10 more people or 20 more people. So then I thought, if I'm asking staff to do this, I need to do this myself. So I was standing outside this door here at one of the programs that we thought were going to be really popular. And indeed it was, we reached capacity. And so I stood out there and I let the parent know that I'm really sorry, we're at capacity, and for safety, we can't let anybody else in. And the parent, was just like, we're just a couple of people, we could stand in the corner. And I'm like, no, I'm really sorry. And then, I look at her young boy, and his face is fallen, he was really sad, and that was really difficult. And then, I had the next parent. And the next parent was, understandably not happy with me, and I can understand that. But then, her child, had tears in her eyes. And then, I felt like the worst person in the world. And by the 5th person, I was ready to cave in. I really was, because it was just so difficult. And it's something that, I struggle with, our staff struggles with. We have tried to find solutions for programs that we think are really popular. What we'll do is we'll do back-to-back programs to help accommodate the number of people. I know that the librarians have added additional story times to help with that. But at a certain point, I think you reach a maximum where, we only have a limited number of staff. We only have a limited number of hours where we can offer these programs in this room. We're also competing with adult programs, senior programs, as well as teen programs. So, it's a big challenge. So and it's something that we're always trying to work on and trying to balance. We also have wonderful support through the Friends of the Library. Their proceeds from their quarterly book sales, online sales, ongoing sales, as well as their cafe, fund our bestseller collection, our new book collection, numerous programs like summer reading, as well as many of the children's programs that we have, as well as even purchasing furniture for us. And then we also have the Los Altos Library Endowment, who makes contributions to support the library. They fund the Whipple Collection, which is teaching courses. Then the entire science and technology collection we have here, as well as programs. And recently funded, if you hadn't seen in our parking lot, our new electric mobile vehicle, the GoGo Biblio. And then our dedicated volunteers, our wonderful volunteers, donated over 9,000 hours of their time and talent to help staff last year. The library really is a source in the community for important services. People use spaces in the library to access technology, computers, and free Wi-Fi. Trained librarians, guided by the latest research in early literacy, demonstrate proven methods to parents, and then parents can see these principles in action and then help with their child to develop in terms of reading and better understanding of principles. The library has a long history of establishing learning and reading, and adults, teens, and children engage in learning all the time. And we really are a hub of activity in the library. People, as you know, use us to study, to read, to just use our space for many different reasons, including I'm not sure if you know this, but we're a designated cooling spot. So during times of extreme weather, people do use our library when there's a heat advisory. And if you've come in during that time, you can see every single space in the library is used. There are people sitting on the floor as well. And I'm just glad that we're able to provide that service. Now I've come to service limitations. Unfortunately, space is always going to be at a premium. And according to the needs assessment, we had outgrown our space 10 years ago. Almost all of our programs for adult teens and children actually happen in this one space. So you can imagine that we're constantly competing among ourselves, among the staff, on who gets this room and what program takes priority. We have been trying to be a little bit creative. We do have a staff conference room. It's a very small staff conference room. You can probably fit maybe 15 people. So for programs that are smaller in size, up to 15 people, we do use that space. But that space is also used for staff meetings. It's used for a lactation space for staff. We have a staff computer there. There are also other meetings that are going on, and it's actually temporary storage for us as well. Let's see. We also need, as I mentioned earlier, a programming space that's in proximity to the children's materials. It's really a fuller experience for families when they're able to have the space connected with the reading materials and with the little learning, if you've seen in our children's room, tables where they can stay and build and create. And we're sorely lacking on restrooms in general, but then it would be really great if we could have a restroom in proximity to the children's room. You have parents with more than one child oftentimes, and so they're trying to gather up all their things, both children, you know, strolling all the way into the lobby, and that just creates a very difficult move for them. Our space is fully maxed, which forces us into some awkward and substandard configurations. Noise is a constant problem. The children's room leads directly out into the reading area and the adult side, and there is conflict sometimes there where, you know, people are trying to study, understandably, and then you have lots of noise from kids who are enjoying the library, which you want too. There's no enclosed quiet area. We did put in some study tables recently near the reference desk, but that's just adjacent to the reading area. It's right next to each other, not 5 feet away. So it's not ideal. We often get asked for group study areas or small group study areas. We would get asked by teens, by adults for this at least twice a week. And unfortunately, it's not something that we have here in this library. One of the advantages of having some of these small meetings rooms would be for tutors, for professional meetings, for interview calls. If you've been here during the day, you could see some people having actually business meetings in our lobby and finding whatever space that they can. When I had first arrived here, the library had ordered new furniture, and you might have seen some of that come in. And, you know, I looked at the designs, and, you know, it perplexed me. I thought, well, we're getting new tables, we're getting new wonderful upholstered chairs, but there aren't any electric outlets attached to these tables and chairs. And I thought, well, that's a must, right? Everyone has their devices these days. And lo and behold, I find out that our conduits are maxed out. There is no way for us to add electricity into those areas or data if we wanted to add more computers. So that's a real constraint for us. And then inadequate space to implement new services. So the Milpitas Library, as well as Cupertino Library, are currently piloting passport services, and which I find very interesting. It's been very well received. And you know, I am waiting for the results to come in at the end of the year to see if there's a good return on investment, if that's something that we even want to look at. Although I do know that there are some community members that really would like to see it here. However, I'm not sure if there is a good return on investment. I'm not sure where we would put that. If we were to place it somewhere here in this library, that does mean that we're going to have to give something else up. And so that's something that, you know, staff and I are going to have to think about. Most recently, I had a young high school student from Los Altos High School. I had a meeting with him, and he's really excited about 3D printing. He's currently taking the class, I think it's an engineering design and prototype class at Los Altos High School, and he and his classmates would really like to see a 3D lab or some sort of something like that here in the library. He gave me a wonderful presentation. He brought in little manipulatives. And he said he would really also like to encourage and inspire people that, students that are, you know, maybe fifth grade or in junior high, to make that connection between, you know, you're designing, you have this wonderful idea, and actually seeing it being created and making that connection and closing that gap. And so I thought, you know, that's wonderful too. But I'm not sure where we would put that. So that's the thing that's on my mind. I would really like to see something like that happen. I would really like to see us collaborate with the local high school. But I'm not sure what I'm going to do with that. If any of you have any ideas, please let me know. It is a challenge. So with that in mind, I'm sorry, I should have said, you know, you could raise your hand at any point to ask me questions. Now I'm at the end. Yes, Tamara.
Will these slides be available? There's such good information, and I couldn't.
Oh, yes, certainly. I can make them available. Yes, yes. Yes.
Marlene, I think you should also mention that our library is so fantastic. The extent, the reach of the library is beyond these walls, too, because the friends of the library were so generous in stocking the bookshelf in the downtown green.
Oh, yes, yes.
And the mobile that takes the library to our citizens. I mean, you're such an important integral part of the community, and it just reaches beyond these walls.
Yes, thank you very much for that. We do try to make every effort to get beyond our walls, and the GoGo Biblio is definitely going to help us do that, to get out more into the community. And as Shelley said, we it's wonderful that the Friends and the Cafe, the Center of Age Friendly Excellence, yes, thank you. We all partner together to bring books to the green this summer. And, you know, just kind of making partnerships, developing those relationships are really important to us. Yes?
Is there anything you can tell us about the Woodland Library in terms of its capacity or the needs?
Yes, so Woodland is considered a branch. So most of the main activity happens here at this library. The Woodland does have, you know, their collection. Their square footage, I believe, is hovering just below 5,000 square feet. So, you know, it's very small, but it's great what they provide. They provide holds, a collection. They even have a baby lap sit and then toddler story time. But they don't even have a program space for that, so it's actually happening in the middle of the library. So we're very limited on what we can do in terms of programs. Does that answer your question? Okay, thank you. Yes.
Thank you so much for the presentation. Yeah, I think the library is great. I'm down here all the time, and I wish I had more time to take advantage of more of the services. A couple of questions. One, Los Altos in 1960 was about under 20,000 people, and now we're over 30,000. And so I know you're looking at new library. How do you anticipate the space you'll need? Because I think there are a lot of new great services that could be offered, a maker space, as I think you were suggesting. I think some libraries actually have like tools and things people can check out to do various things.
Yes.
And so that's one question. How do you kind of anticipate when you do the next one, what Los Altos might, how do you build enough space to anticipate what the community might be like in another 30, 40 years? And second, and I know you can't take positions on ballot measures, but you probably heard about Measure C, which would require that a new lease for the library or renewals of leases for the current libraries would have to go to a vote costing $50,000 if it were in a general election, November of an even number year, or up to $500,000 for a special election. And I'm just curious to hear if you've thought at all about how you would factor those extra costs into what you're all already dealing with a limited budget.
That is an excellent question. And you're right, I can't take a position either way. But I have to say I am watching that carefully because I think there's a possibility that it can affect us. As I mentioned earlier, we are leasing this building from the city. And I really don't know how that would play out if, for instance, it did pass. What does that mean for our services here? And how that's going to change, at this point I really don't know, but it's definitely something that I've thought about and our district has been watching as well. In terms of the amount of space that we have, I think Cindy is going to be speaking next, and she's going to be talking about some of the studies that were done for this building. But we'll real quickly, I just want to mention that from part of that study, there really isn't room for us to expand out, but we really need to go up. And if we were to go up, we can only do that in the part of the building that was remodeled in 1993, and that's just the front of the library. So as you can imagine, that might be a little bit of an awkward sort of configuration and not ideal. And then I think Cindy's gonna go a little bit more into that. Yes?
That's not a question, but your network of libraries around the country is really good. And besides that passport program where you're looking in our district, the other things with other libraries around the country are doing things too. It might be beneficial for the community at some point if you had somebody from the county library came in, or you make a presentation of what are some of the most innovative new things going on in libraries in the United States. Something, exciting stuff is going on.
Okay, making notes, yes. Great. Yes.
One of the things we didn't really go into is safety, which I'm really big on. And there's several things that are old technology that we don't have here. One of those things is the HVAC system. This has been really an outdated HVAC system to try to heat or cool from the ceiling, as opposed to all new libraries do it through the floor, so where you're heating and cooling where the people actually are. Mm-hmm. Plus the amount of air exchange you need in a library is greater because of the books and the people. Mm-hmm. So it's required to be higher. This is a really insufficient HVAC system. Second thing for safety for me is that the children's area here, no restrooms in the children's area, no family restrooms. All new modern libraries have family and children's restrooms within the children's area, so that you can completely separate that. And they're also positioned so that there's no exits or entry paths for someone to abduct a child. And ours is woefully lacking. My third area is having a teenager in the Los Altos High School, a teen zone that most libraries have, where they can be a little loud and they can, rehearse things from school and work on projects and make a little noise, but it's isolated from the rest of the library. You have to ask yourself, where would you rather have your teen, out on the street or at the library? And if they have a great place at the library where they're not disturbing anybody else, that's where they could be.
Thank you, and I completely agree with you. I know that our teen room that we have was an afterthought. When they designed this building, they really did not have in mind that teen services would grow so much. So that room was originally meant to just be a group study room. But since we definitely want to you know, have teens have a space to study and to collaborate. We made that room into a teen room and then added teen collection outside of that room. So yes, I completely agree. It's inadequate.
And I add that
yes.
The county library system is absolutely wonderful and efficient.
And thank you.
We in Los Altos, though, are suffering from the fact that you're only limited by the facility or the lack of facility that you have. In other communities where they've built a larger library with the right facilities, that same library staff suddenly can do twice as much with twice as many people, and everybody loves it. But we're limiting, and yet we pay the same amount or more than other communities and get less service because we've chosen not to have an adequate facility so far.
Two questions. When does your lease expire?
Oh, you know, that is an excellent question. I need to find that out. I'm not quite sure.
I think it's 2032.
2032.
And Woodland is earlier. It's 2027.
Okay.
Thank you. And who built the Little Friends Library at the Green?
Oh, so that we provided the cart, the friends provided all of the books, and then Shally over there provided the idea.
It's a house. It's a little house, like the Little Friends libraries you see in the neighborhoods.
Oh, the little libraries, yes. So people can actually go online, and there's these little libraries that look like little bigger bird houses, and people can exchange books.
But
yes.
Right next to the green.
Oh, okay. That was done separately. Yeah. It's quite lovely for the community to exchange books, definitely. All right. If you think of any other questions, have suggestions, I'm always interested in hearing more and my contact information. And then I'm going to pull up Cindy's.
So Marlene and I collaborated on our presentation. And a couple of months ago, the City Council asked NCLA to give an update on where the task force was. So a lot of this information are slides that John Maginot and I presented, but I've updated them and I've also added some color because we just did black and whites. So I am Cindy Hill, and as my bio says, I am a librarian, but I work in the corporate sector. I work at the Federal Reserve Bank of San Francisco. So I obviously have a passion for libraries and information and what they bring to a community. Several years ago, I applied to be on the Library Commission, and one of the very first things I heard about was the 2008 needs assessment study and how it identified a big gap in where we were that many years ago. So here it is, 2018, and we still have that gap, and it's gotten wider and deeper. And as several of you have mentioned through your comments and through your questions, you're also very aware of that. So moving forward, it's always interesting getting used to somebody else's computer. Let's see what happens. Perfect, I know the right button now. So this is the purpose of the task force, and it's to look at how can we redevelop the library. And we put redevelop rather than rebuild because we wanted to make sure that we looked at the options of could we remodel this existing building and make it what we want it to be, or was it a tear down and start over kind of environment. And we've learned a lot during that whole review. And the first thing that we did is we put together a task force. And as a task force of four, which makes it very, really interesting when we have a vote, if it's a tie vote, there's nobody to break the tie. But we chose four people, we actually chose four organizations to get us started. And these are the four main bodies within our two cities, Los Altos Hills and Los Altos, that have a vested interest in seeing where this library goes. So Mary Jo Kelly is here, and Jean Mordeaux, he was the chair of NCLA at the time, and then Bob Simon represents the endowment. And then we realized, as we were going to go forward after several months, that we needed to expand the group. So we put out a call to both Los Altos Hills and Los Altos, and we received, I think it was almost 20 applications. And we interviewed, Suzanne and I interviewed every single person. They were amazing interviews. And we moved the committee. We had planned on making the committee, the task force, 7, and we actually grew it to 11 because we wanted to get new bodies in here. Many of these individuals are brand new to either the library or the community. They've not done any volunteer service, and this is their first step in the water. We also have Marlene, Nancy, and Nancy as they sit on the committee, but they do not vote because we definitely want to get their insights. John Maginot is our contact along with Jamie Chu. So the first thing that the group of four did is we took a look at the 2008 study and realized that it needed to be updated since so many years had gone by, and also look at an architectural feasibility study to see what could happen with the building. So we asked that architectural group to take a look at, could we do an expansion and what would it look like, and how could we get approximately 40,000 square foot in this general footprint and cost. Some of the things that we discovered is that even if we wanted to move over into the orchard, we cannot because there's this giant conduit that is the main power line. It's buried right under the sidewalk on the side of the building. So,
you wouldn't put a K next to the 40.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Yes, thank you. Let's go backwards. Yeah. We're going micro library now. Thank you for catching that. It was there, and then I was goofing around with it, and I obviously made a mistake. Huge mistake. So we also can't go forward because we're running into the parking lot. We cannot go out to the street because there's a city ordinance about how, or a county ordinance about how close we can be to the street. So, you know, we are bounded by this space. So that leaves down or up. So there's the information. I actually brought all of the paperwork. I have the 2008 survey because it's just really interesting to look at. We hired Group 4 Architecture to do this. They are an internationally and nationally known organization, and they've done many libraries in our area. In addition to that, they knew the people from the original assessment, so they were quite familiar with their study approach. So they looked at all the documents, they interviewed all the major stakeholders, that they did not go out to the community. We wanted to save that for later. So they talked with the friends, and all the groups that we mentioned. In addition to that, they talked with the staff, and I was able to sit in on that interview, and it was fascinating listening to the staff needs, and it became so evident how much they care about the citizens that come into this building, and then the ones that they reach outside of the four walls, both at Woodland and here. They just, every single thing that they commented on was, and asked as a an improvement, was to affect in a positive way the people that use these resources, either physically or digitally. So I was quite impressed. So then we used Strata to take a look at the architectural feasibility, because many of us were living under the delusion that we could go up with this existing building. I was one of those. And thought, yeah, well, let's just add another story to it. And they took a look at the structure and said, no, it could not fit because the old part, the original part done in the 60s, isn't strong enough. This newer part is. But if you add up this way, it becomes an ineffective use of space. We end up with a little square space because then you have to provide an elevator and stairs, and you start to lose all of that workable space. So, and as I say, it is pretty cost prohibitive because in addition to that, if we're going to remodel this newer space, we have to look at the older space and get that up to today's code because it's out of code right now. So that's an additional several million dollars. So their recommendation was, their recommendation was that we tear down and start over. So NCLA, the task force took that information back to NCLA, and NCLA made the recommendation to continue to look at what can we do. We're looking at a range between 35,000 to 50,000 square feet. We're just picking a number to, from which to work and see what we can do. We contacted Godby and asked them to conduct a community survey of both Los Altos and Los Altos Hills voters to gauge their interest and willingness to either have a parcel tax or a bond measure. And they did do that, so I have a little bit of information. And then again, of course, we asked to expand the task force, which I've already shown you that. So in June, Godby, we worked with Godby, and they did do the interviews. Most of the interviews came through online, which again was a new piece of information for me. I made the assumption that people would answer the phone. I don't know where I am, you know, what decade am I in? But they said no, that actually most people now will get the message and they will go online and do it. And the surveys are much more complete that way too. So the survey's results indicated that actually the way, Godby didn't say this, another person who looked at the survey said, wow, you are in the worst spot ever. You're not really strong on having it passed, and you're not really weak on having it passed. You're kind of in the middle. You're close enough, because we were aiming for to have this on the November election, or on the November ballot. And Godby's recommendation was that we need to wait and do a lot more education and work through a lot of other things before. So now we're looking at which dates, which elections would work best for this community and how much work we need to do. So our task force now meets every 2 weeks. You are all invited to sit in and observe. They are on Thursdays at 4 o'clock. And they move between here or over, well, we have to find space. That's one of the hard things. We try to meet here, but we get kicked out often. So it's somewhere in this area. But they always get posted, so you can always find the announcements in the agenda. We are now looking at our upcoming meeting. We're going to be talking to two political consultancies to find out what services they provide, because that has been the recommendation, that that's the next step. And part of that would be to the outreach to the community and get their information and their buy-in, and actually their suggestions on what they need. And going along with what David Smith was saying, so many people travel around the United States and around the world, and they step into libraries, or they've heard about it from their friends and relatives. So they would come with a lot of ideas, which I think is even better, to get what do they want to have. So our next meeting is next week, and I would really love to have you guys come. I also wanted to let you know that in October, two of our library commissioners, which represent the Los Altos Hills, they will be presenting to their council and giving them an update. And so our next steps are to work with the community, and then also to coordinate with Hillview Community Center to make sure, because that is one of the frequently asked questions is, we're going to have this community center. Why do we need another conference room? Why do we need a teen space? Because some of that's going to be over there. And I don't think it's an either or situation. I think it's an and plus. This library is open 7 days a week. The hours are really expanded. It's free right now. We don't know what the community center is going to do, but we do know that they will be charging for access to their rooms. The open spaces may be available for people, but that's what they are. They're open spaces. And also, what hours will they be open? So we want to work with the Hillview Community Center because I think there's a lot of synergies. I know that this library already works with the museum, and they do a lot of co-sharing of space and also programs, and occasionally the theater too. So there's a lot of possibilities in this area. The other big opportunity for us is to explore a combination of public and private funding. The Library Foundation already has $3 million that had been donated through various individuals, and that has a big chunk of that has been set aside for a new facility. What else can we get from the community? What else would the community like to donate and contribute? And then, of course, the public funding would be through taxing us. And then I just put down, what other questions do we have? What other next steps are we not seeing that we need to pay attention to? And that's where you all come in, because I would really like to get your advice. So now this is the time to continue that conversation. Rob?
Thank you, Cindy. First of all, thanks so very much for bringing us up to speed on this. So a question and then an observation. So the question is, back to Godby. So for the 40% of the interviewees that were not in support of a new library, any insights for us in terms of the reluctance to support a community library?
There were some observations. Some of them was that they were coming off of the Hillview vote, the community center vote, and they weren't sure, is this a city initiative? Is the money really going to go to the library? Will it be used for something else? And we were also trying to get a sense of what piqued their interest, and actually safety was the number one thing for them. You know, to have a safe building for people to come into, and safe not only from other individuals, but in terms of safe as in when I step in here, I know it's going to be a safe building, physically safe. And then also education for young children, because we tested all the areas from children to teens to adults, and the young ones were the key point at this point. Yeah.
Oh, can I ask?
Sure.
So the survey was put into place to really judge the community sentiment about a new library prior to any sort of communication and education about the need for it. So I think my view of it was a little more optimistic than possibly Cindy's, because I thought what's great is before even talking about this publicly, 60% of the population was willing to vote for additional taxation for a building. So I did not observe very strong anti-sentiments. It was more, I think, either people didn't know, or there were some concerns about some of the different taxation levels that were tested. And I do think there's always a certain percentage of the population that's just going to vote no on, you know, a new taxation. So I viewed it as pretty positive.
I'm glad you put it that way, because that's actually what I was trying to say, but you did a much better job.
So I think, you know, what was really helpful was knowing that we have a push we need to do on education, but that the issues that Cindy mentioned of children's programs, safety, things like that seem to really hit the hot button.
So you, and then I'll come to you.
So with the decision that the way to the direction to go is for a new library building, how long, it's a two-part thing, and one is how long would it take and where would the library go in the interim?
So we don't know how long it would take, a couple of years, most likely. But the
it took Palo Alto what?
Well, they had some contract problems,
right.
Well, but the good thing is that the county has already built recently a couple of libraries, so they've got it down. On where would this library go? Nancy Howe keeps reassuring us that, first of all, we don't have to worry about that. That is their issue, and that there will be a library. It won't be this one, but unless we can tear down part and keep using it. But that's something that they're planning for. I know that she's already looking through that process. So, yes.
Two comments, just as parenthetically, when Mountain View built its new library, they actually built a temporary library on a piece of land that was owned by the military. Expensive, but it worked quite well. Regarding community support, it would seem to me that building the excitement and the education is very important. And along with that is having a lot of private money foundation support in your hip pocket to say, to be able to say to the community, look, we've got this many millions of dollars already pledged and committed to this facility. Help us, you know, get to the top. I think that would be very compelling and engaging to people in this town.
Thanks for letting us know that, because that's where we were leaning. David and then.
So following on that point, that's a great point, because you know, we have time now since it was put off for another year.
Yeah.
If we could interest, you know, the money that's there now is from two people who left it at the library, and nobody asked them for the money. So the question is there money there? The second thought would be making a case, though, and it came up in the city council meeting on the question of why was the library less expensive than the community center, and the answer was a lot of the cost is supported by the county library system.
Right.
Because our money goes to the county, and it would come back. And that, to me, sounds like a good selling point in that there's a plus. Also, the fixed cost, and that there's no additional cost because the county is paying for all the employees and whatnot, and we're putting the money in, not getting as much back.
So remember when Marlene opened it up where she said the county is responsible for all the stuff inside? So all the furnishings, all the carpet, everything, all the books, everything is funded by the county. Well, we paid for it, but it's funded. So that's one of the reasons why it gets reduced quite a bit.
So one other thing is on the survey. So it's only Los Altos and Los Altos Hills residents that would be affected, but we have like 4,000 unincorporated half homes that use the library. And I don't know if this has ever been done, but is there maybe a separate effort to say, let's put a sort of fund for the unincorporated area that's supported to the library separate, because they're not going to be taxed.
Right.
But they can all contribute.
We've talked about various possibilities. We don't want to tie the two together. It just muddies the water, but it's something that we bring up all the time, is what do we do with those unincorporated who get the benefits of this? So, yes.
Cindy, I really liked your presentation, and might I suggest that there be a mechanism you might create that shows on a spreadsheet the current library, its square footage and uses down one column, and then a potential proposal of expansion.
Okay.
To give our community the concept that we really need to expand.
Okay.
I believe that educational discussions like you're having this morning are fantastic for our community, but our audience here this morning is in such support of you.
Right.
We need to outreach to those that don't understand the need. And you could, and the Friends of the Library could easily have inside as you walk into the library a little sign that says, "What's up with the new library?" And then you have some papers that can be accessed to let our community know what's in the process, for example.
Thank you for that idea. And this is great being with a warm, friendly audience, because you're asking me the tough questions, and now I know how to deepen my answers. Kim.
A couple few ideas. One, I like the idea of sort of looking at the bond or whatever it is as a matching grant.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you can get a lot of money and present it as, if you vote for this, we got this other money that will come
okay.
in. Almost like a public.
Right,
campus.
Yeah. The KQED.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Second, you might, I don't know if you explore, but there might be opportunities in terms of crowdfunding. Leading into it, if you set up a GoFundMe or something like that and engage people to help create the matching grant. And finally, and I don't know how this would work for the library system, but there are ways that public entities sometimes do public-private partnerships. And I have a friend who I'd be happy to put you in touch with where you can, there's a big difference between if a public entity like the city goes and builds something directly, and if they can structure a public-private partnership, they can often cut 25-30% of the budget just because of the ways that a private entity can do things. You get the same quality work, but they just are much more efficient. So if you'd like to contact, and I'd be happy to provide that.
Thank you. And I noted your idea, too. Yes.
I just wanted to mention one thing that Suzanne, Diane, and I are on the education marketing side of the task force. And one of the things that we're working on, sort of a public education campaign, and one piece of it will be having public meetings. And Suzanne explained it very well. We want to have meetings where we provide information. We also want to have meetings that are really built as we want to listen to you about what you want in your library. So hopefully you'll be seeing ads for those things and you'll be able to come help us educate.
I hope you'll bring those meetings to the schools, to the PTAs, because that's on the list.
Yes. Just to follow up on that, I think one reason the downtown, I was stunned at the city council meeting where there were, the naysayers sort of evaporated into the background because the public support for the downtown vision plan was so strong. And all the years I've been around city governments, I've never seen a consultant do a better job of outreaching the community. But we pushed them hard, the people in this room, and through their different organizations, plus the LACC, but they were outstanding. They came to Junior Olympics, they came to Little League stuff, they literally came to every farmer's market, every place in all different demographics and different geographic areas of the city. The problem to me with the response to libraries, people have no idea. They think it's lovely. They have no idea about the deficiencies and what needs to be done. So I think if you broaden your outreach and maybe even spend some of your budget on hiring a professional outreach firm, RRM's outreach component was terrific. David was just excellent. And if that sort of outreach is done, I think you'd get a lot, the numbers would change on your survey.
Thank you. Yes, Mark.
Yeah, just to add on to that, I think some of the things that came out in the GOPI survey also, people talking to is, why do we need a new library?
Right.
There's no understanding of the
right.
And so we do need to get that out. Plus we have voiced the idea of having a pledge where you pledge to the new library for your private funding, but that pledge goes away if the bond issue doesn't pass to take care of the rest of the funding. So, you know, it's an incentive. We can leverage this $3 million plus maybe another $5 million or whatever of public funding only if we vote for this, and that also decreases the amount of the bond issue.
Thank you all very much. I really have enjoyed standing in front of you and hearing your questions and comments.